Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight. And again, I want to say it's wonderful to have Daisy with us. Thank you very much for coming out. And let's go ahead and get into. And before I forget, if anyone's following the news in Turkey, I've been getting a lot of emails from friends in Turkey. It looks like I will be going into Turkey probably after all of this stuff calms down there. But they are really going through a lot. And there's just a lot going on, and I can't go into the details, and I can't call names out and stuff like that. But just remember our Christian brothers and sisters in Turkey, because they are really going through it. Amen. As we do, we always look at two or three different areas from what we looked at last month, and then we'll go ahead and then get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. And so there's three areas what I would like to look at, looked last month. And that first area is God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. What a wonderful truth. God resists the proud. So people say, well, God is resisting me. Well, if God is resisting you, that is because, guess what? You are proud. Because the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we're going to talk about humility a little bit tonight. And humility is one of the greatest characteristics of God and the church today that is lacking. That is lacking. There is not a lot of humble people in the church. There's not a lot of humble people in this world. And we're going to look at humility a little bit. But that was a critical point, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen? And the second point that we looked at is, if pride continues in our lives, we will not be able to carry truth properly. If pride continues in our life, we will not be able to carry truth properly. Not that we will not know truth, but we will not be able to hold that truth properly, and we will not be able to execute that truth. And, there's a lot of people that know truth. A lot of people know the Bible backwards and forward, but they can't execute that truth in their life. They cannot share that truth. And the main reason is because pride in their life will prevent them from carrying that truth. Amen? And the third point that we looked at, and it is the true treasures of God are found in darkness. Isaiah 45:3, and we looked at that. Isaiah 45:3 talked about the treasures of darkness in hidden places. Wow. The true treasures of God is not money, it's not power, it's not influence. If you think those are the true treasures of God, then you are selfish. Then you are self-seeking, and you do not know the truth. But the true treasures of God is more important than money. It's those things that we learn of God that enable us to go through things in our life and empower us to overcome situations, and even empower us to overcome ourselves, which is our biggest enemy. Amen. Three very, very important truths. Today, what I'd like to do, I'd like to share, this will be Wilderness Truths of Modern Times, number 34, and I would like to begin in Leviticus 26:46. When I first became a Christian, I really used to like the New Testament, and I'm New Testament, and yes, I like the New Testament, but the longer I go with God, the more I like the Old Testament. There's so many wonderful truths in the Old Testament that parallel into the New Testament, that, wow, if we could get those, get those truths from the Old Testament, it will enable us to move and walk in those things that God has for us that are found in the New Testament. Amen? And again, the wilderness is a place that most people think is dark and barren and, is bad, but actually, the wilderness is a place of spiritual growth and development for our life. It is through troubles and trials and all of these things that we go through. They sing a song in the church called Count Your Blessings. And it's, oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn, taught me a different way than he had to sing that song. And it was this way. Count your troubles, name them one by one. Count your troubles, see what God has done. Count your troubles, name them one by one. If the troubles in our life, and we allow God to move us through, the troubles in our life that we see that enables us to love God more as He pulls us through those, and those troubles and the anguish and all of the heartbreaks and all those difficulties in our life. They are found in the wilderness, and He has prepared for us so that we will walk in them and we will learn His way. Song of Solomon 8:5 is a tremendous verse that says, "Who is he coming up out of the wilderness leaning on his beloved?" The wilderness is the place that we go to so we can learn to lean upon the Lord. Amen. So Leviticus 26:49, tremendous verse. "And these are the statutes and judgments." Notice it says statutes and judgments and laws. So there's three things that are moving: the statutes, the judgment, and the laws, which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now we know that as we go through the Word and the Truth from modern times, we are in the fourth wilderness, and that is Sinai. And Sinai is the place where God desired to meet man, but man had no stomach for that. He was afraid. And, "Oh no, Moses, you know, we don't want to see God. We want you to go see God." And so Moses had many wonderful encounters with God in God's dwelling place. Sinai is the place where the children of Israel dwelt, and it's also a place, a dwelling place of God. Now remember that, that thought, dwelling place with God. Amen. Know and live. Know and live. God gives direction that we may know His ways. In the Bible it says that God could not show the people His ways. He showed His ways to Moses, but He could only show His acts to the people. As a Christian, we don't want to have to only see God's acts. We want to know His ways. John 17:3 says, "Now this is life eternal." Everybody thinks eternal life or life eternal is living forever, but that's not what Jesus said. John 17:3, He said, "Now this is life eternal, that you may know God." Wow. Eternal life is knowing God, and we don't have to wait to die to go to heaven to know God. We can know God here on this earth. But the children of Israel, God could only show them miracles and things that He did for them. But God had, because of Moses' heart, could show Moses, his ways. Wow, that is what we want. We want to learn the ways of God. Amen. We need to pay attention. Here are the instructions, not for the Israelites alone, but also for today. And this is the setup. And shadow for them, it was shadow for the children of Israel, but for us today, it's reality. All of those statutes and the judgments and the law, all of the things that God wants us to do, they are reality for us. And if we fail to follow God's directions, we will never ever know God's ways. If we fail to follow God's direction, and that's directions in the Word, in the Bible, if we fail to follow God's directions audibly to us, He speaks to our spirit, we will never ever know His ways. And the more that we follow God's directions, the more that we follow His statutes, the more we follow those spiritual principles that He's put in place, the more we will come to know Him. And that's not God's, choice, that's our choice. Tonight, as we go through the teaching tonight, we're going to be looking at choice. Because everything we get from God will come out of not God wanting to give it to us, because He wants to give it to us. But it comes out of our choice. Do we want to receive the things that God has for us? Well, if we want to receive those, then we have to meet those conditions. Amen? To receive those. "That you may live" is the purpose of God's commandments. All of God's commandments can be boiled down in one thought, is so that we may live. God has given everything so that we may have life. John 10:10 says that, that Jesus has come so that we may have life and have life abundantly. I hear a lot of preachers talk about that verse and they say, "God, we should have a Cadillac and a brand new house and have this and have that." Well, that is so far from the truth. From John 10:10, God wants you to have not life, but He wants you to have His type of life. God wants you to have the Zoe type of life. God's not too concerned about Cadillacs and all of this stuff. God is more concerned about Him in you. And if we can have His life, then we'll be able to know Him and know His ways and be able to move and do those things that He wants for us. Amen? Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 3, verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live. So if we do not observe God's commandments, we will die. Wow. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. So God is talking about the children of Israel here. He said, I want you to observe the commandments so that you may live and multiply and go in. That same truth is us. There's not a land for us to conquer like with the children of Israel. But there's other things in our lives that God wants us to conquer, and we can only conquer them when we observe the things that He wants us to say. And of course, Deuteronomy 8:3, very, very famous verse also, in Matthew 4, so He humbled you, allowing you to hunger and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, and that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Experience is to teach that the word which God gives is life to us. It's not about the bread. That's what so many people, they get that kind of confused. What God is talking about here in Deuteronomy 8:3, and then also I think it's in Matthew 4:4, He's talking about the word of God that comes to us. As we receive that word and as we obey that word, then there is life. And that's not just living, that's the life of God that we take within us. And unless God can humble us, He will never be able to feed us. How about that? Unless God can humble us, He will never be able to feed us. Humility is the source of all prosperity and fulfillment in our life. Now that was worth coming tonight for and listening. Humility is the source of all prosperity. Everybody wants humility. I want prosperity. I want this and I want that. And I want fulfillment in my life. But the source of that is us having the ability to humble ourselves. Not too many Christians, especially these pastors on TV, they strut around with fancy clothes and rings and all this good stuff. And they talk about prosperity, but there's no humility in them. Wow. Humility is the source of all prosperity and fulfillment in our lives. Now, oftentimes when we get that word prosperity, we think prosperity has to do with riches and all that good stuff. But that is not the biblical definition of prosperity. When Joseph was in prison, God said that he was a prosperous man. But the only thing Joseph owned in his life was a loincloth. That was it. He had a diaper, basically. That's all he owned. But God said he was a prosperous man because the word prosper or prosperity in the Bible means to push forward in God. That's what true prosperity is to push forward in God. So Joseph was pushing forward in God because he was obeying his masters. He was doing the things that he was supposed to do. He was observing the statutes and the judgments and the laws in his life. And he was a prosperous man. Amen. The law was not given to kill the people. No. God said this in Leviticus 18 and 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. Statutes and judgments. Just like up in Leviticus 26, 46. Statutes, judgments, and laws. Which, if a man do, he shall live in or by them. I am the Lord. Wow. So if we obey God's statutes and His judgments in our life, then we shall live. So the opposite of that truth is the same. If we do not obey those, if we do not observe those, then we shall die. God sets before us life and death. Even today, God sets before us life and death. And then He says, choose life. In Deuteronomy 30:19, that's what He says. Today I set before you life and death. But don't think this is just the Old Testament. This is God speaking tonight. Today I set before you life and death. And then God tells us to choose life. All that God gives His people is designed to lead them into a fulfillment of life. Again, humility is the source of all prosperity and fulfillment in our life. And all that God gives His people is designed to lead us into the fulfillment of life. Both paths leading to life and the path leading to death were revealed to His people. Wow. So God says, okay, I want you to be prosperous. I want you to push forward in God. So now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to set life before you, and I'm going to set death before you. Now you choose whether you want life or death. And that is a conscious choice that we make every day. And you can see that all throughout the Bible. Adam chose death when he was in the garden. So many great names in the Bible, and you know, so many other folks in the Bible chose that. But God set that there. Amen? The path which we follow will be the path of our own choice. The path which we follow will be the path of our own choice. I don't know about you, but every time I sin, I know it. I just know that I've sinned. I mean, you know, I don't need, I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit tells me. I mean, you know, I don't need my wife to tell me. I don't need my best friend Freddie to tell me. But I know that I've sinned because I have made that choice. The blessings of life are set in the paths of God. Wow. And all these blessings of life shall come unto thee. And I'm reading from Deuteronomy 28:2. It says, and all of the blessings of life shall come to thee and overtake thee, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Oh, God. Wow. All the blessings of life. Every one. Now, when the Bible says all, it means all. It don't mean two or three or a couple. It means all. All of the blessings of life are out there waiting for us. Today I set life and death before you. Choose life. All of those blessings are there. Amen? God's arrangement, now check this out. God's arrangement is by not choosing life, we automatically choose death. God has put that into place. God has put that into place. He says, okay, I set before you life and death. Choose life. But if you don't choose life automatically, and you don't even choose death, I'm going to choose death, but that's not the way that works. If you do not choose life, then you automatically choose death. God has set it, and God has set that into motion. Which, you know, God's a sovereign God, and that's the way that is. And so, you know, God wants us to definitely choose life. Amen. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou will not, your choice, hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all of the commandments and the statutes. You see something moving here? Statutes and commandments and judgments, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Wow. Isn't that amazing? We choose the path or direction we want to go. I don't know about you, but I kind of do what I kind of want to do. And I pray and I ask the Lord, what should I do? When I follow His direction, I'm good to go. But oftentimes, I also choose maybe the way that I want to go, and sometimes I get in trouble. But in either choice, I'm making the choice. God has never made me go to church. My parents did. I had a drug problem, Mother Freddie. My parents drove me to church. I thank God for that. But God, last time He didn't say, David, go to church. I didn't need God to tell me that, because I knew that's something that I wanted to do. I wanted to go to church. Wow. We choose the path or the direction that we want to go. And no one, even Satan, turns us around unless we want it. So when we start off moving with God and moving in that direction, no one, even Satan, is going to stop us from doing what we want to do. Amen? We are driven by, James tells us that we are driven by our own lust. Sin is the product of our lust. And when sin is, you know, done then, you know, and there is destruction. A lot of people say, well, Satan made me do it, and the devil made me do it. I was in a church a couple months ago. This one lady, you know, will take a prayer request, and she said, I'm just so busy, and Satan just has me so busy that I can't pray. And I said, What? Get out of here. I said, that's not true. I mean, I shouldn't have said that. Because, I mean, everyone in the church looked at me, but it's true. She can't be so busy that she cannot pray. Satan doesn't have her ever so busy that she cannot pray. She just didn't have a, wherewithal and an understanding there. Amen? In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is really an interesting verse. Because there's 42 promises there. 42 promises. Between 1 through 14, there are 28 curses. I'm sorry, 1 through 14, there are 14 blessings. And then 15 through 44, there are 28 curses. Now, you got to remember what a promise is. A promise is something that we receive out from our behavior. God says, if you do this, I promise you I'm going to give you this. If you do this, I promise you I'm going to do this. So in the first 14 verses, there are 14 blessings. If you do this, I'm going to bless you. But, you know, then there's 28 curses. Now, it's interesting that you have 28 and 14 and you get 42 promises. It's interesting that there's twice as many curses as there is promises. Isn't that interesting? There is twice as many curses. I wonder if God's trying to tell us something. I'm just wondering if God's trying to tell us something, because I don't know about you, but the last time I had a good blessing in my life, you know. Hey, brother, come on, sit down. Okay. So the last time I had a good blessing in my life, it didn't leave me very long. But I'll tell you what, the last time I did something wrong, God got my attention. I tell you, a good cursing by God will get your attention and kind of move you, you know, back in the way of another blessing. Because, you know, a big blessing kind of gives me, kind of gets my head, you know, kind of big and you know, kind of puffs me up, and I think I'm, you know, I'm somebody. But that's not, but that's not where we need to be. Amen. So, Brother Freddy, we are on the second page on E. Amen. Good to see you tonight. Amen. God's choice and provisions are that we might have His life, the Zoe life, not our life. I don't want my life. My life needs to fall into the ground and die. But let the corn of wheat, that's me, I'm the corn of wheat, fall into the ground and die, that I'll never ever be fruitful in God. I want to have God's life. And the only way for me to have God's life is for me to fall into the ground, that we might have His life and benefit from His blessings. But our choice is that which determines our final outcome. It is our choice that determines our final outcome. He determines the path which will lead us to our eternal dwelling places. Whew. Boy, I like that. I don't know about you, but the last two or three weeks, this dwelling place has really been digging my spirit. And we'll do something about that a little later, amen. Which is God's glory, or is it the lake of fire? And you can see that in Revelation 20:15. God sends no one to hell. Isn't that amazing? God has never sent anybody to hell. If we go to hell, it will be our choice. And that is an automatic arrangement that God has built in. Like accepting life or death. If we accept Christ, we go to heaven. If we don't accept Christ, there's no middle ground. If we don't accept Christ, then we automatically go to hell. And God has built that in. You know, you got two choices. And that's why He says, select life. Wow. His dwelling places. Dwelling places are very important to God. Numbers 1:1, Exodus 25:8-1, I'm sorry, 25:8, 1 Chronicles 17:5-6, And many more verses speak of God's desire for a dwelling place. And again, we're in a scripture for modern times. We are in Sinai, which means glory. And that is a dwelling place, which was, you know, a dwelling place of God. Amen. God was going to live in the wilderness for 40 years without complaining about the provisions or about not having a dwelling place. Because the children of Israel, they just moved. And there was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And they just kept moving and they kept moving. And there was no tabernacle. And then suddenly there was a, you know, and God said, stop and build a tabernacle. Amen. Now God desires to dwell in our heart. The dwelling place that God is after is right here. It's in our hearts. That's the dwelling place. God is not looking for a dwelling place in a church building. He's not looking for a dwelling place in a denomination. God is looking for our heart, our body. And yes, the place He wants is in our life. In our life. God is looking for this dwelling place in our life. In the wilderness, God gave Moses the plans for this dwelling place. This dwelling place was built and set up in the wilderness. Remember, the wilderness is a place that difficulties and troubles and all of these things we go through so that we can learn about God, we can learn His ways and not have to have Him do a miracle and save us. I was in Nairobi, Kenya many years ago. And I was at the Deliverance Church, and there was about 500 or 600 pastors of the same denomination called the Deliverance Denomination, you know? And so anyways, I made the statement, I said, God is not trying to deliver us. And all of a sudden, I saw Pastor Matthew just slide down in the seat. And all I could see was just a big smile on his eyes. Oh my God. And it's true. God is not trying to have to do miracle after miracle after miracle for us.
He's already
done it. That's right. He's already done it, but God wants to develop us. God wants us to develop us so that we're able to go through difficult things in our life, leaning upon our beloved. And if God has to keep delivering you from situation after situation after situation, then He knows God's plan for your life is in jeopardy of being lost, and so He will have to deliver you. Because Daniel went into the lion's den, amen, 3 Hebrew children that were not delivered from the fiery furnace. Jesus was not delivered from the cross. Oh no. Jesus had to go to the cross. And so too in our life, God wants to bring these difficult things into our life, and He wants us to be able to be strong in Him, be strong with might in the inward man, and go through all of those situations in our life in Him, and then we will be developed. We will not be delivered. Amen? Wow. And that is the place in the wilderness is where we meet God. I would like to live where God lives. Amen? If He lives in heaven, I want to be there. If He's living in the wilderness, I want to be there. If He's living in the valley, I want to be there. If He's living on top of the mountain, I want to be there. Everyone always wants to live on the mountaintops. Well, what if God's in the valley? If God's in the valley, I want to be there. Location in our life as a believer is very immaterial. Location where God is very immaterial to us. Amen? And it always has been on the earth. Everyone always is so concerned about location. But in God, location does not matter. It does not matter where God is. That's the place for me. Wherever God is, that's the place for many. For me. Many believers sing the C.F. Butler's hymn, "Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven to me." But very few believe that. You know that? Very few believe that. I am not too much into heaven. Wow. I'm not so much into heaven, you know. Oh, I gotta go to heaven. Don't worry, I'm gonna go to heaven. You know, I'm gonna go to heaven. And you know, and I hope I see everybody there. But, you know, I'm not into heaven because the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away. but my word shall never pass away. Now, what are all those Christians going to do when heaven goes away?
Wow.
Wow. I'm not into heaven as much as I'm into Him.
I'm into Him. I've always
been into Him. Because wherever He is, that's heaven to me.
It doesn't matter.
Heaven, that's okay. I'm into Him. Amen. Some parting thoughts. Amen. God wants to get as close to His people as possible. First He dwells in them. In them. Now notice this. First He wants to dwell in them. That will not be accomplished over the entire population. There are not a lot of Christians that want God to dwell in them. They would rather have God dwell around them, just like the children of Israel. They did not want to meet God. They did not want to come up on the mountain and have a face-to-face with God. They wanted Moses to go up there. Well, that's the same thing today. There are some Christians that want God to dwell within them, but most of them, they just want God to dwell around them. That will not be accomplished over the entire population, as I said. And there will be some that will be suitable only for God's dwelling with them. With them. Not in them, but with them. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. How close do we want to get, or do we want God to get to us? Everybody says, I want to get so close to God. Really? The Bible says in Hebrews that God is a consuming fire. Not too many people do not want to get close to God, because the closer we get to God, the more we are consumed. And there's not a lot of Christians that want to get consumed, because they have their plans and their dreams and all the things that they want to do. But the closer we get to God, the more we are consumed. God's intention for us is to get in us. God's intention is for us to get in us. But few will allow that. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. The call goes out to the masses in the world. The call goes out to the masses. But only few were chosen. Well, why are the few chosen? Everybody was called, but only few were chosen. The ones that are chosen are the ones that have chosen God. The ones that choose God, that want God to come in them, those are the chosen. But the many that are out there, they just want God to be around them. You know, God will be with them. Those are the many. And, well, you know, God will take care of them from there. Amen. God does not always get the entirety of that which He seeks. He is not willing that any should perish, but some do. He will be content to get what He can. That thought is amazing as I was writing this out. God is content. God is content with whom He can get. Now, if I was God, I'd want to get everybody. And God wants to get everybody. But God knows He's not going to get everybody. He knows that. And so since He knows He's not going to get everybody, and the only people He gets are the people that want God. It's not that God don't want them. God wants everybody. But the only people that God gets is those people that choose Him. And God is content with that few number of people. It's amazing. If I was God, all powerful, I'm going to twist your arm. I'm going to make you serve me. But God, no. He's very, very content. He's very, very content. Well, even the new earth, it may not be a forever situation. Amen? He looks to certain quality of people for His dwelling places forever. Let me say that again. He looks to certain quality people for His dwelling place forever. God's dwelling place is in a certain quality of people. Not just any person is God's dwelling place, but there is a certain quality of people that God is looking for. Some people, God is content with only those who choose Him, as I said. Some people, but want to live in heaven forever. But the forever situation in you and God is in you. The forever situation is you and God in you. Now let that sink in for a second. The forever situation of us being that eternal habitation in God, that forever situation God is ever living in us, is you and God in you. Amen. The geographical location is of no importance. Where's heaven? I don't know. It don't matter. It don't matter where heaven is. Because I am in God and God is in me. That is what matters. God could camp in hell. Who cares? Even in that place, He would be our shield. The power of hell has no advantage or no adverse effect upon God, because God is in us, or on those who are walking with God. We say that again. The powers of hell have no adverse effect upon God or those who are walking with Him, because we are in God and God is in us. There is no power greater than God. There is no power which can burst into God and wreck everything there. No, no, no. There's no power. Amen. Earthly circumstances cannot destroy that arrangement of God in you and you in God. That's the arrangement that God wants. It's us in God and God in us. But most Christians do not believe that. No, they don't believe that. Amen. It is not about the circumstances, but it's about the dwelling place. Let me say that again. In our life, it's not about the circumstances that we go through. That's not the issue. The issue is, are we that dwelling place? Can God be in us? And are we in God? That's the issue. In this present world, in tribulation and distress, in anguish and despair and in troubles, can anybody relate to all of those words? Amen. God wants to live in us. In all of those situations, God wants to live in us and wants us to live in Him. He intends this to be a constant and permanent arrangement. This is God's constant and permanent arrangement. That is God in us and us in God. And He does not want us never to leave. He says that I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that amazing? God says I will never leave you or forsake you. Wow. This is God's intention. Him in us and us in Him. Some individuals who God brings into the wilderness will leave God because of the situation. Amen. When we get into these tribulations and distresses and anguish and despair and troubles and all of that good stuff, we will leave God because of that situation. But God doesn't want that. He wants us to stick with Him, for He has brought us into the wilderness in order to make us His dwelling place. Wow. God has brought us into all those tough situations and all the difficult areas so He can make us His dwelling place. Be content to live where God lives so that He can live in you. It is in the wilderness, in tribulations and distresses and anguishes and despairs and troubles, we learn to become God's dwelling place. The last verse we're going to look at is just beyond me. I do not understand, you know, these verses right here. I mean, God made the heavens and made the earth, and He made all these wonderful, beautiful things. And it's beyond me why the God of the universe wants to live in us. Why He would want to live in us. Not in the heavens, not on the earth, not even in heaven. But we are God's eternal habitation. We are. I can't explain that. But we are God's eternal. God wants to live in us forever and ever and ever. Not in heaven. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians 2:21 says, and where are all the buildings
And we're all the buildings fitly framed together, growth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In verse 22, to whom we are built together to a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are built by God into this habitation. That word habitation is, guess what?
Dwelling place.
We are built. We are fitly joined together, Paul said. And through this habitation and through this dwelling place by the Spirit of God, and it's the eternal habitation forever and ever and ever. And I don't understand that, why God would want to live in me. But that's God's desire, to live in me as an eternal habitation forever and ever.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, the Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this word, Father, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord God. We ask you, Father, Lord God, to lay this word at our heart's door, Father, Lord God. And let us meditate on it, Father, Lord. Go over the teaching outline, Father, again, and just meditate on the verses and the word, Father, Lord. And let your word, Father, Lord, just minister to our spirit, Father, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all that come out today, Father, Lord God. And those that will listen over the internet, Father, Lord God, just bless them and be with them. And Father, Lord, help us to be your eternal habitation forever and ever. You in us and us in you, Father, a dwelling place. And we thank you and we praise you. And we pray this thing in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.